Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
This morning, we're going to read a little story, if that's okay. And we're going to be talking on the topic of the progression of faith. The progression of faith. I've realized in my walk as a Christian, as a New Testament Holy Ghost filled believer, that there is a progression in faith, that there's a walk that we have in this faith walk. And how many of us know that it's not just a simple, you know, perfectly laid out concrete road, and it's just nice and smooth sailing, and it's a little bumpy. I mean, I don't know about y'all. Maybe y'all have a better walk than I do, but my walk has been like an old country road with potholes and rocks, and I blew a tire a couple months ago and had to get a spare, and my transmission fell out. I mean, this road's been a little rough. Somebody say amen. Can we be real? So I want to talk about the progression of faith, the progression of faith. And we're going to start in 1 Kings 18, starting with verse 41. 1 Kings 18 and 41. 1 Kings 18 and 41. It says, "Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain.' So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he bowed down on the ground, and he put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, 'Go up now and look toward the sea.' And when he had went up and looked and said, 'There is nothing.' And seven times he said, 'Go again.' And then it came to pass on the seventh time that he said, 'There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea.' And so he said, 'Go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you.' And now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." Now, I just want to give a little bit of background to where we're at right now. Like I said, it was just Bible time. I was going to read the whole of chapter 18, but we'd be here all morning. So just to kind of sum it up, Elijah had just had this big showdown with the prophets, right? And they were in this massive drought, this drought for 3 years. And can we all agree that depending on the need, that is what aspires the value to any particular product? Okay, so fuel, and I'm not that old, I'm really not, but I can remember when I was little guy running around. My dad owned a lawn care, it still does, own a lawn maintenance company in Okeechobee, and we would go to fill up, and we've got all these gas cans and everything. And I can remember fuel being like $1.08, $1.09 a gallon. And you talk to my grandma, and she's like, "Boy, I remember when I could fill a 5-gallon can for like $1, you know, or whatever it is. It amazes me, you know, $1.08 a gallon. I could fill the boat for like $30. $30 don't even move the needle nowadays, right? But as fuel has been, there's a higher need for fuel. For petrol, right? And there's less of it. And because there's less of it, it makes the value go up. Gold, diamonds, you pick anything, makes no difference. In this case, it's water. There's no water. It's dry. It takes water to live. It takes water. Our human physical bodies have to have water to survive. The plants have to have water to grow. If there's no plants, there's no food. And not only are we going to starve, we're going to dehydrate. It just sounds like a big old mess. They're in a drought. It's dry. There's tumbleweeds floating all over the place. There's nothing. It's dry. They need water. So water becomes a hot commodity. Amen. In a time of a drought where there is none, and this is something that you need to sustain, this is something that you need to live, I can assume that water would probably surpass fuel prices today. Amen. Again, the necessity, the need drives the value. So Elijah's up on a mountain, and he summons his Ahab through his servant and says, "Listen, you know, I'm sick and tired of these false prophets of Baal. Let's have a little showdown. Let's put my God against your God, and let's see which one answers with fire." See, and I want to make this point because Elijah's a bad dude. I mean, he's bad to the bone. Elijah is the real deal prophet. You don't want to mess with Elijah. He'd just cut your head off. Right? So he says, "Bring all of your prophets, bring all of your funny sacrifices, do all your hoodoo voodoo magic." And they're up on the top of this mountain at the altar. And he says, "Y'all go first." And he sits back and they're busy cutting themselves and chanting and dancing around and making a show of this thing, trying to get their God to do something that he physically cannot do. And Elijah's sitting over in the corner taunting him, making, where is your God? Is he on the toilet? Where's he at? Is he out for the weekend? I mean, why is he not answering you? And he's making fun of him and pointing a finger at him. And then eventually he says, okay, I've had enough. Bring me some water. Bring me some water. And he starts dumping some water on the altar. And I think it's interesting because if you try to light a fire, you don't look for wet wood, you look for dry wood. It'll smoke and smoke and smoke. You put the blowtorch on it and it'll smoke and smoke and it'll smoke until it dries out before it catches flame. And then he goes and he gets more water. He says, bring me some more. And he dumps more on it. To the point to which the word says that the trenches around the altar were filled. Completely 100% saturated. Now it speaks to two different things, and I don't want to go too far into it, but water was a costly thing. There was a price that was paid on that altar, but we won't go down that road. The fact that point I want to try to bring across is that it was soaking wet. It was impossible for there to be a flame. Elijah couldn't have hid some matches and some gasoline under there. Gasoline wouldn't have helped. It would have went and then died because the wood was wet. And he says, okay, now let me prove my point that I serve the one and only true living King. I serve the I am that I am. And he calls fire from heaven down and God comes down and consumes the altar. Right? Great miracle. Because and that's what I love about it is because God will take what seems seemingly impossible to us and provide a miracle through it, because it's in that place of impossibility that his greatness, his mercy, his power is 100% shown through, because we couldn't have done that in our own understanding and in our own strength. I couldn't have made that thing light. It's water. Water doesn't like fire. They're opposites. But God said, right? But it gets better. Because then Elijah says, okay, go bind them all up. And he takes them down to the riverbank and he executes all 450 prophets. Elijah's a bad dude. Just remember that. And I'm gonna bring that back up at the end, because we have to remember his boldness. He serves the I am that I am. He serves the one and only true living God, and he has faith and understands and believes that if God said it's gonna happen. And so he stands as an advocate and does these things. And it's amazing. And I think it's beautiful. But you got to be a pretty raw dude. Man of God. Sorry. Had a youth service on Friday. I got to bring it back in. You got to be pretty raw to go and execute 450 prophets. False prophets, but prophets nonetheless. Just remember that. Now, 1 Kings 18:41. It says, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. And this is where I want to start, because oftentimes in our faith walk, we hear things, we see things, we have an impression of something long before we ever physically see it in the natural. So we'll be praying and all of a sudden I'll hear, you know, pick one. I mean, different people get different things, right? You know, I really feel like I need to open up a business. You know, I really feel like I need to do this. I really feel like I need to do this. I really feel like there's going to be a breakthrough. I need restoration in my family. And then you feel like God speaks to you. And whether that's through an open vision, whether that's through an audible voice, whether it's through an impression in your spirit, you'll often feel like God is leading you in a direction. Amen. I really feel like I should be in full-time ministry. I just got to be real, because this is my walk. Amen. Right? Praise the Lord. I'm here now. I'm in full-time ministry, but it wasn't always like that. I was the full-time youth leader, youth pastor, whatever, and I didn't get a cent. Okay. Amen. Amen. But just remember, you will always feel or hear something. Oftentimes, this is how God speaks to us. In our faith walk, we'll feel an impression, we'll feel led. This is the direction God wants me to go. Amen. Now, Hebrews 11 says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things unseen. Unseen. So, just bringing it back to the story, you know, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Elijah? Prophet? Sir, I know what you hear, but what I see is something completely different. Prophet, there ain't a cloud in the sky. I don't feel it. I don't see it. But I know he said it. Prophet, we're in a drought. Elijah, it's dry. There's nothing. There's nothing left. What little bit of water we had, God consumed on the altar when you decided to get funny with the prophets. It's a joke. There's nothing. I don't see anything. There's the sound of the abundance of rain. I feel like God's leading me in this direction, but yet I don't see it taking place. God has called me to the nations, but yet I don't see it yet in this place. God has called me to pastor, but I don't yet see it in this place. God has called me to do this, but yet I don't see it yet. I don't see it yet. I see nothing, but I know that he spoke to me. Now see, and I do want to make this point real quick because it's important to note that when we decide to take what God has said and run with it in faith, we need to make sure that God said it. Because we have a tendency, and I'm speaking from experience, we have a tendency to confuse what God said with what I said. And it's very important that if you're going to run down this road of faith on a word, on an unction, on an impression, on a vision, on a sound, it had better be from the Lord God Almighty. Amen? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do, if he called me to do it, I can do it. But I promise you, if I mix up my voice and his voice, ooh, ain't gonna be so good. Not gonna look real pretty. So let's carry on. So Ahab, verse 42, 1 Kings 18, 42. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Carmel, and then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, go up and look toward the sea. So he went up and he said, there is nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing. And seven times he said, go again. There's nothing. There's nothing. I don't see it. So now, again, I'm very visual, okay? So you got this prophet. Now remember, he's a bad dude, like, Prophet Elijah is the real deal, right? And he's in this awkward posture of prayer. He's got his head between his legs. He's bowed down. And he's in this posture of prayer. And he tells his servant, go up and look and see. So here comes the servant. I got my steps in first service. And he looks. Elijah, prophet, I don't see nothing. Go again. I'm getting somewhere. Has anybody ever interrupted someone while they're praying? This is an awkward transition of moments here. You know, I mean, this is the prophet of God. I mean, he should be seeing me running down the mountain. He should already know that I'm about to tell him I ain't seen nothing. And I got to interrupt him? You know, it's always that awkward, like, look in the face, like, why are you interrupting? Can you not see? I'm doing kingdom business here. Okay, all right. I'm visual. Forgive me. Prophet. There's nothing. Go again. And he comes down. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing. I don't see it. I don't see it. I know you heard it. I know you hear from God, but I don't see it. Has anybody ever been in this stage in their faith walk? Oh, I know I heard it. God, I know you said it. God, I know it's in your word, but I don't see it yet. Go again. Go again. Go look again. Go look again. Oh, you still don't see it? Go look again. Oh, you still don't see it? Go look again. Go look again. Go look again. Seven times. Faith is the evidence of things unseen. I don't see it. Well, where is your faith? I don't see it. I don't see it. What about Noah? They thought Noah was nuts. What are you doing, Noah? Well, I'm building me a boat. All right, that's a mighty big boat. Yep, it's got to hold two of every animal, one male, one female. We got to fill this thing full. Noah, have you ever seen a lion and a gazelle in the same pen? It ain't pretty, brother. Well, it's okay. God told me. Look, the ark is in Kentucky. He's got to be. It's a joke. They thought he was nuts. But him building the ark was a physical representation of his faith in the word that God gave him. And his obedience to what God has said. I don't see the rain. I don't see the storm. Sure, God's going to wipe us out. Go ahead, Noah. Well, look who had the last laugh. Hey, help me. I want to be on the boat. Okay, all right. What about Abraham and Sarah? God came and said, you're going to bear a son. And Sarah laughed. I'm 90. Have you seen my husband? He's 100. The word says, I ain't looked at my husband like that in many years. It's not. I'm paraphrasing. Amen? How is it that my Lord would allow me to have... Anyways. It takes faith. To believe what God has said. What about Moses leading the Hebrew people out of the mass exodus out of Egypt? And he's got all these wonderful people behind him. And he gets to the Red Sea and it's like, Oh, yep, they're coming. Oh boy. You got to act in faith. God says hit the water with the staff. I mean, what else are you going to do? Right? But him taking that step of obedience, yes, it looks silly. Yes, it looks ridiculous. Yes, it doesn't make sense to the naked eye. But if God said it, I'm going to do it. And they walk on through. How about Joshua and the walls of Jericho? Again, I'm visual. And I can imagine Joshua being in front of me and I'm marching. And we make our first lap. And I'm watching, and everything's all good for the first lap, right? I'm full of faith. I'm full of boldness. God said it. We're going to take. Here we go. Second lap, and I'm watching this wall. Third lap, I'm starting to sweat now, and it's not because I'm tired. It's because I ain't seen the first bit of mortar crack. I ain't seen the first brick shake. By the sixth lap, I'd be begging to go tap Joshua. Hey, brother, we got a backup plan. I don't see this wall doing anything. And we got like 100 more yards, brother. What are we going to do if this thing don't go down? Can I be real? Faith is the substance of things not seen. I don't see the wall coming down, but God said to march. I don't see the water parting, but God said to hit the water. I don't see the rain coming, but God said, build an ark. I don't see my breakthrough, but God said, take a step. I don't see my business, but God said, take a step. I don't see the breakthrough in my kids. God said, take a step. I don't see the breakthrough in my marriage, but God said, take a step. Take a step. It takes faith to press on. And here's the crazy thing, is that when we're walking this faith walk and we're doing what God calls us to do, or doing what God tells us to do, they are going to call you crazy. You're going to quit a well-paying job to go be a youth pastor? Okay. Maybe you should pray again. Are you sure God told you that? Do you know what they make? Hey, man. God really told you to go start a business? God really told you to sow a seed? God really told you to get back with your ex-wife? Okay, all right, okay, let me behave. Amen. You got to press on. It takes faith to press on. It takes faith to keep that marriage going. It takes faith to build a business from the ground up. It takes faith to be a Christian in this dying world. It takes faith to bring God to the schools. It takes faith. I got to keep on marching. It takes faith. It takes faith to believe in things that you can't physically see. Can I throw this out? It doesn't take faith to believe in Jesus when you die and go to heaven. Because you see Him. I don't need faith to know that Miss Scarlett is sitting in the front row. I can physically see her. She's there. I don't have to have faith to know that she's there. If I go and grab this water bottle out of the pulpit and take a swig, I don't need to have faith that I'm going to get hydrated. It's there. I can see it. It takes faith to believe in the unseen. And verse 44. And then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. And so he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. A cloud the size of a man's fist. I love this. I think it's brilliant. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain, but I only see a cloud the size of a man's fist. Now, wait a minute. Wait. The sound of the abundance of rain. What does that look like to me? I've been through a couple hurricanes. I'm a fisherman, and anybody who in this room that fishes knows that on your one and only day off a week that you get to go fishing, it's always raining. And I'm one of them crazy ones. I will fish in the rain. Praise God. The fish are waterproof. They eat in the rain just as much as they do in the sunny days. But can I tell you, when the abundance of rain happens, it's a little tough to fish. You better have two bilge pumps to keep up with it. You know what I'm talking? I mean, sheets of rain. Right? I hear the sound of the abundance of rain, but yet I see a cloud the size of a man's fist. Seemingly insignificant cloud. You promised a breakthrough. You promised the abundance of rain, and I get something don't seem right here. It seems insignificant. Insignificant. And in our faith walk, we get these little breakthroughs. We get these little victories. We get these little things. Your daughter picks up the phone and calls you to say happy birthday, Dad. She hasn't talked to you in 7 years. It's a little victory. It's a little breakthrough. You didn't get her saved. She is still living in sin. She's still doing all these things. You didn't get the total breakthrough that God told you you would have, but it's a start. It's a start. Turn to your neighbor and say, we got to start somewhere. So I have this. Y'all stay with me, okay? Prophet, there's nothing. Go again. This is the seventh time. Y'all just imagine with me. I ran too much in first service. Excuse me, prophet, I see something. Yeah, it's small, but I see something. The response is what gets me. That's it. That's it. Here we go. It's beginning. It's beginning. There's been nothing. There's been nothing. There's been nothing. It's been dry. It's been a drought. I've seen nothing. I've felt nothing. I've heard nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing. But here it is. It's starting. Let me ride this wave of momentum into my breakthrough. Let's watch what he does next. And this is where it's just so powerful. It's so powerful. See, oftentimes in our faith walk, we see these things. We have these little victories and they seem insignificant. Let me tell you something. Those little victories, you're still being tested. Your faith is still being tested to see if you're going to ride that little victory into your total breakthrough. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And in 44, it says, then it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. And now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black. Uh-oh. With clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. And then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. That's it. Here's my moment. And he takes a step in faith. He girds up his loins and takes off running. He begins to run toward the blessing that God is providing. That's it. I'm going to ride this momentum. Yeah, it's a little cloud, but this is all I need to get me going. I'm in the gym and I've been working hard and Dawn's been making me sweat and eat healthy green things and I step on the scale and I'm 3 pounds heavier than when I started. I've ate so much lettuce. I got lettuce coming out of my ears. But my waist is 2 inches smaller. I'll take that. The scale might be lying, but there's a little victory. I know it's a silly explanation, but as little, it's something, it's small, but that something small carries me over to help me push through to get the totality of what I'm looking for. I'm called to preach. I'm called to preach. The thought of it makes me want to vomit, but I know I'm called to preach. Let me tell you something. If you're wondering whether it's your voice or God's voice, if your stomach on the inside goes, it's God. You're called to preach so that. All right, we're good. Amen. Now, this brings me to my fourth point, and that is God is going to provide the blessing regardless. And the devil cannot stop God from blessing. He can't. He cannot. How can the created tell the creator what he can and can't do? That's illegitimate. You're operating out of false authority. He's not going to come up against God because he's going to lose. So he's not going to stop God from providing the blessing. If we notice, the rain still came. What is he going to do then? He's going to intimidate you to keep you from receiving what God's going to pour out regardless. Can we go to 1 Kings 19? Is everybody okay? Just a little Bible story this morning. 1 Kings 19. And it says this. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough now. Lord, take my life. I am no better than my father's. It's a sad day when the mighty prophet Elijah, who just executed 450 prophets. Hears a word and gets so fearful and so intimidated that he runs from the very blessing he was running to. He runs the opposite direction and hides to the point unto death. See, the devil cannot stop the blessing from coming. He can only stop us from receiving it. And this is the last step I want to talk about, because I don't know where you're at in your progression in faith. You may be at the beginning stages when God has just spoke to you about something in your life. Or you may now be at this place of Elijah where you're busy running to the very breakthrough that he's provided. And I don't know what it may be. Maybe within your family. It may be within a business. It may be within I don't know. Everybody's different. But see, when the enemy realizes he can't, he doesn't have another foothold, he's going to begin to speak intimidation and fear into your life. And we know that fear is always the direct opposite of faith. And again, this is a personal opinion, totally personal. This is not a theological debate. This is just a personal Pastor Mike opinion, for what it's worth. I have a hard time believing that God would allow Elijah to die by the hand of Jezebel. He went up against 450 prophets of Baal, made fun of them, poked at them, asked them if their God was on the toilet. And you mean to tell me that when it comes down to it, you're running to your blessing, that God would allow Jezebel to take him out? I got a hard time believing that, but when you're in it, it doesn't feel like that. When you're in it, that one little thing that's coming against you feels like your whole world is crashing down. And I believe that's how Elijah was at this moment, is, oh yes, I know there's my blessing, but do you see what's coming against me? Prophet, it's one queen. Again, personal opinion, but that's what intimidation and fear can do. It'll make you run. It'll make you run. But Isaiah 59:19. Says something very beautiful and very powerful. It says, so they shall fear the name of the Lord, not the enemy, not the intimidator, not the devil. The name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. We should not allow the enemy to control our lives. We should not allow the enemy to steal the blessing that God has already provided for us. I have this image, and I shared it in the first services, and I'm not a football fan in any way, shape, or form, but I have watched football. Just, I like to fish. And football gets in the way of that. It's always in the evening, right about the time when they bite the best, you know? Anyways, I have this image in my head of somebody playing in the Super Bowl, and they catch an interception, and you know those, like, those really great plays when the interception is caught, and they take off running, and then the defense is really, really good, and everybody at the back gets held back by the defense, and then they're just all on their own, and it's like, I got this, baby. Roll Tide. That's college, but, you know, whatever. And I just have this image of, that's it. There it is. This is the last point. I'm going to win the game. And the line is right there. And it's like tripping and falling on your face right before you get to the line. There was nobody behind you. They couldn't catch you. They couldn't stop you. That was it. I mean, you could have walked across. We can't allow the enemy to come in with fear and intimidation and take the blessing that God has provided for us. We cannot allow him to take the blessing that we have fought for. The kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. If you've gone through that, you've worked for that, you've prayed for that, you've stood in faith for that. Yeah, it's dry. Yeah, it's a drought, but I believe. I know you said it. I believe it. I believe it. I see a little bit. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take the little that you've given me. I'm going to take my home cell. I'm going to take my internship. I'm going to take what little bit I got. I'm going to take it. I'm going to run with it. Pastor, will you lead a youth service one night? Yes, sir. I'm going to do that youth service with everything that I got. It's not the fullness, but I'm going to take the little bit that I got. I can't pay you right now, but will you do the youth ministry for me? Yes, sir. I'm going to take it. It's not the fullness. It's not what God said, but I'm going to take it. I'm going to run this thing out. We got to take pride in the progress and enjoy the road. Don't try to be too fast. Amen. Can we pray this morning? Amen. Father, in this place, in Jesus' mighty and precious name, Lord, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the word as it is as a double-edged sword. And Father, just as it cuts and it strikes down the enemy, Father, it's also there to remind me to cut those things out of my life that shouldn't be there. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that this morning, as we've learned from the prophet Elijah, he did so many things right. He was a man of faith. He stood in faith, believing and understanding you and your goodness and your supernatural working power in his life. But Father, we see at the end there, he begins to run and hide because of fear and intimidation. And this morning, Father, we choose to stand and be the opposite of that. Father, we choose and stand. When intimidation comes, when fear comes, we will stand broad-shouldered and look the enemy square in the eye and tell him where to go. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you so much for your mercy. Father, we thank you that you are constantly blessing us. And this morning in Jesus' name, we strike down every fear and every form of intimidation that the enemy would try to bring upon our families, upon our schools, upon our children, upon our businesses, upon our government, upon this city, and upon this nation. And we strike it down this morning in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Father, we pray that your blessings would begin to rain upon this church, that it would begin to rain upon the schools, that it would begin to rain upon our members here, Father, that the families would receive the rain of your blessing. For I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. So we thank you, Father, and we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. It truly is an honor, Lord, to be a son and a daughter of the Most High. We give you praise, honor, and glory. Father, I ask that your hand of protection and blessing would be upon every single person as they make their way homes. And Father, that you would bring us all back here tonight safely, ready to get back into your word once again. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' mighty and precious name. And everyone agreed and said, amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.